This is Biotechnica and you're listening to India's first life science podcast, The Voice of Biotechnica. News, views and reviews. Opinion and opinion makers. Policy critics and policy makers. Now all on one integrated biotech platform. The Voice of Biotechnica. Launched on Biotechnica's 12th birthday, The Voice of Biotechnica is going to be your voice. We will discuss the latest innovations, talk about the bright side of life science sector, and debate on the darkest side of research. Our experts will take you on a ride to the deepest secrets of life sciences. The Voice of Biotechnica, a weekly podcast released every week on Wednesday. So what are you waiting for? Listen to the podcast and voice your opinion too. Want to talk about something you think is relevant? Contact us today via email info@biotechnica.org.
Hello everyone. Welcome you all once again to our very own podcast, Voice of Biotechnica, with one more new session of a scientific discussion. This is Priyanjana Ghosh, and today we will be exploring about China. So let's analyze that how China can win the biotech and health tech race. China. This country always reminds us about two things. First is that it's the most populated country of the world with over 22 provinces, about 5 autonomous regions, 4 direct controlled municipalities that include Beijing, Tianjin, Shanghai and Chongqing, and the special administrative regions of Hong Kong and Macau. And the second factor that always keeps us thinking about China is that the country is the world's second largest economy by nominal GDP and has largest by purchasing power parity. So now, let's focus on the foreign and trade relations of China. So the People's Republic of China, or PRC, has diplomatic relations with about 175 countries that maintains embassies in about 162 countries. Just imagine, friends. So its legitimacy is disputed by the Republic of China and few other countries, and thus it is the largest and most populous state with limited recognition. In the year 1971, PRC, that is People's Republic China, replaced the Republic of China as the sole representative of China in the United Nations and as one of the 5 permanent members of United Nations Security Council. Wow, that's great. So in recent decades, China has even played an increasing role in calling for free trade areas and security pacts amongst its Asia-Pacific neighbors. So China became a member of even the World Trade Organization, we all know, on 11th December 2001. So China has the second biggest economy in the world. And according to Bloomberg News, China is planning to reduce the average tariff rate on imports from its trading partners by October 2018. So let's focus on the first set of our topic, which is China winning health tech. Now first, before starting with this genre, I just want to add one great saying. That is, China wasn't even on the radar 10 years ago. Now it is impossible to ignore, and this saying was stated by Judith Lee, partner at Lilly Asia Ventures. And I would definitely agree with the statement. Standing on 2018, we cannot just ignore China because it's an upcoming country which is gradually winning over health tech and biotech sectors. So, Healthy China 2030 plan, which was introduced in the year 2016 by the Chinese government, is modeled on the UN Sustainable Development Goal to reduce premature mortality from NCDs by one-third through prevention and treatment. So China's high incidence of cancer and diabetes also makes it highly dependent on expensive imported patented drugs, and they depend on the government that to seek reduction with homegrown and affordable innovative biomedicines. So the next thing, which is very important, which we are going to focus upon, is regarding the regulatory reforms proposed by CFDA. So some crucial regulatory reforms were set up by this Chinese organization named as China Food and Drug Administration, or CFDA. And this particular organization helped to streamline the clinical trial procedures and grow China's biotech sector as a part of broader sweeping changes that introduced to pharmaceutical and hospital sectors in 2015. So I'm going to talk about three reforms that were established by this particular organization, CFDA. The first reform which was established was about the introduction of self-checking declarations by drug companies in clinical trials that has freed up the CFDA trial pipeline and CFDA resources by eliminating non-starter cases awaiting approval. The second was about new CFDA regulation that modeled after the US Food and Drug Administration's regulatory process that required Chinese generic drug makers. And friends, the important thing is virtually all of the China's pharma market at that time required Chinese generic drug makers. Just to establish consistent bioequivalence with the innovator product. So drug makes that meet the standards are awarded preferential access to public hospital tenders and prescriptions in China. So although the immediate result of this policy was higher drug manufacturing costs, the Chinese government leveled the playing field by eliminating 15% markup hospitals that earned on dispensing drugs. Unimaginable. Now third, the third reform was the key reform which was known as the Market Authorization Holder, or MAH, that allowed the drug innovators to hold the manufacturing license for a drug even if the drug manufacturing overcapacity. Because developers no longer have to spend time and resources on drug manufacturing, as they are able to devote more energy to developing new drugs. So the law has had a particularly beneficial impact on China's developing contract research, which is known as CRO, C-R-O, and contract manufacturing, CMO, organizations. So in about 2011, China named biomedicine one of its 7 strategic priorities. And in its 13th 5-year plan, 2015 to 2020, the government mandated that biotechnology should exceed 4% of GDP by 2020 in market size. So by the end of the decade, China is slated to have 10 to 20 science parks. And in 2015, China launched its Made in China 2025 strategic plan, citing that high-tech fields, including the pharmaceutical industry, should increase the domestic content of core materials to about 40% by 2020 and 70% by 2025. It's amazing initiative of China, I would say. Isn't it? I think you should agree with me. It's an excellent initiative taken up by China to launch about 10 to 20 science parks about the end of the decade. It's amazing. Now friends, let's focus on the another genre of China, that is China winning over the biotech field. So China has seen about double-digit growth in its biotechnology industry and has gone from being one of the slowest to one of the fastest nations in the adoption of new biotechnologies. The biotech sector is seen in China as an internationally core area of national scientific and economic development. And the main national biotech body in this country is the most popular one, which is CNCBD, China National Center for Biotechnology Development. And this is a very famous national biotech body of China. Now, the CNCBD is an organization that was established on 3rd November 1983. Under the Ministry of Science and Technology, with the approval of the State Council, CNCBD is the sole national center to coordinate and implement the national S&T program, that is Science and Technology Program, in biotechnology and health. So the search for biotech expertise in China has not only targeted MNCs of that country, but also the large pool of Chinese PhD researchers who are working at different postgraduate research institutes and foreign companies. Okay? So here also we can see that a great initiative has been taken up by this country to win over this field of biotech even. Okay? So we should applaud to this initiative, to this struggle of China. Now, there has been a number of cross-licensing deals that have emerged in recent years between different US companies and Chinese biotech companies. And especially with the Chinese biotech companies, they have licensed Chinese development and commercial rights to different US companies also. So it is very much evident that we can expect the emerging trend towards exclusive licensing of the molecules developed by US and some other foreign companies to the Chinese companies to grow strongly in the wake of CFDA regulatory reform. It's very much correct. So basically, existing Chinese biotech companies become more profitable and they also enjoy the increasing local access to public equity markets, and hence they will be in a position to buy or pay more for license according to a survey that was conducted in China. Now, out-licensing in China is very, very common. So, out-licensing of China or Chinese biotherapies to the US market is likely to continue, and we can expect to see this increasing trend of Chinese companies pursuing their own clinical trials in the US and some other markets despite the higher costs involved, isn't it? Now, friends, we'll listen to a very, very interesting, a real story about a biotech revolution that took place in China some years ago. Now, this man, whose name was Dai Wenyuan and his age was 28, he quit his job developing artificial intelligence software for Chinese internet giant Baidu to launch his own company. Now, definitely it was a smart move on his part. So his AI startup quickly attracted an initial of approximately $4 million investment from Sequoia Capital China in the year 2015. 3 years later, Dai's company, the man, was capturing attention for developing a medical tool that uses AI to predict whether patients are at risk of developing diabetes. Now, his company's name was 4Paradigm. And 4Paradigm said that its accuracy rate was 88%. So the key to that success is the access to reams of the patient data. 4Paradigm's AI software scanned medical information that included gender, blood sugar levels, even weight. And all these medical informations were collected from about 1,70,000 patients by the researchers at Shanghai's Ruijin Hospital. This was a remarkable standpoint taken by this company. So from there, it used machine learning to predict which patients were most at risk of developing the disease. See, whenever you are trying with something, whenever you are trying for a success, you have to give it a risk. So every successful revolution do have a risk behind that. So from there, it used machine learning disease to predict which patients were most at risk of developing the disease. And Dai says that the company refines its methodology and the techniques can be applied to some other diseases, and that can range from heart disease to hyperlipidemia and kidney disease even. So friends, it's time to wrap up now, as we have end up with a lot of informations, lot of dimensions that we have explored regarding the China, regarding its winning about these two important sects of a country, health tech and biotech. We'll leave you all with a question. So what do you think? Can China overcome the technological gap and outcompete America? As it's being told nowadays that China is actually outcompeting America. It's coming in the first position. So what do you think? Is it true that China can overcome the technological gap and outcompete United States, leading to a rhetoric globalization in the field of biotech and health tech? So with this question, I should end up here. And that's all for today. We'll meet you guys in the next episode of the podcast with some more interesting facts. Thank you.